National Broadcasting Company invites you by transcription to join The Chase. There is always the hunter and the hunted, the pursuer and the pursued. It may be the voice of authority, or a wraith with death and destruction, the most relentless of the hunters. There are times when laughter is heard as counterpoint, and moments when sheer terror is the theme. But always there is the chase. And the desperate pursuit of money and a career can be the most terrifying chase of all.
You sent for me, Lieutenant? My name's Hicks, Eddie Hicks, the publicity agent. Where's the body? I've never been inside a morgue before, Lieutenant. Is she under that sheet? Yeah. That's Gloria Hastings, all right. Even a murderer's bullet couldn't change that beautiful face. She was hard to top when it came to looks, Lieutenant. But she was only good to look at on the outside. On the inside, well, that was something else again. Suspects? Why, I can give you a list of suspects as long as you're armed, Lieutenant. When you're out to hit the top and you don't give a hoot who you step on as you travel up the line, you make enemies. Ever chase a buck, Lieutenant? Well, Gloria did. A fast buck and a big career. She chased them both like a bloodhound follows a scent. Yeah, I remember the first time she walked into my Broadway office. She was fresh from Milwaukee, and her name wasn't Gloria Hastings then. It was Anna Crow. But when I changed her moniker, I didn't know I was putting a label on a walking powerhouse. Yeah, sure, I'll handle the publicity for you, Mr. Regan. I'll give it the works. Maybe I can get a spread in one of the big picture magazines to start with, and we'll go on from there. Yeah, well, you just leave it to me, Mr. Regan. Now, you've just hired yourself the biggest press agent in the business. Bye.
Hi there.
I'll let you in.
I just walked in.
Well, you can walk right out. There's a sign marked private on the door.
Don't be difficult. One day you'll thank your lucky stars that I strolled by.
Well, and who are you?
My name's Anna Crow, but you'll have to find me another one. It's a little too plain for a girl who's going to wind up famous.
Got it all figured out, have you?
To the last dollar, Eddie.
Your name is Mr. Hicks, and furthermore,
please don't be difficult, darling. I'm going to make you a million. And you're going to make me the talk of the country. They said you're the best publicity man in the business, and nothing but the best is good enough for me.
Mm-hmm. I suppose you want to be a movie star.
Not a bad beginning.
Beginning? Oh, and then what?
I want to be the greatest thing since Cleopatra. I want to be everything, Eddie. The most beautiful, the most talented, and the richest girl in town. I want a career, a big career. And I don't care how I get it. I want my name in lights, not only on Broadway, but on Park Avenue and Palm Beach. I want to be toasted by men from New York to Rio. And I'll get what I want, Eddie. If I have to chase it from here to Kingdom Come. I'll get what I want if it's the last thing I do.
See what I mean, Lieutenant? She had a cash register where a heart should be and a one-track mind. The career was everything, and she did everything to get it. Well, I got her a job as a model first, and then I changed her name. I never took anyone on that fast before, and no one ever tried to work me so hard. But I did it because, well, because she fascinated me like a cobra fascinates a bird. Whatever she said, I did it, and whatever she asked for, I got. Oh, hi, beautiful. How's the big career, girl?
Ready to move on.
What?
Modeling's all right for a country bumpkin, sweetheart, but 90 a week won't pay for my stockings the way I want to live.
Hey, take it easy, baby. I'm breaking you in for bigger things. You'll get to know a lot of people around town while you're posing for those advertisements, and we'll go on from there.
I'm ready to go on right now, Eddie. I want you to enter me in the Miss Venus contest.
Miss Venus? Wait a minute, honey. That's way out of your line.
Is it?
Well, sure. First of all, it's not open to amateurs. They're using Miss America and Miss Universe entries only. Why, even movie stars are entered in that shindig. They're only going to hold it once.
And they're going to advertise the winner as the most beautiful woman who ever lived.
Sure, sure. It's the press agent's pipe dream.
There's $20,000 in it. And the winner can practically write her own contract for movies or the stage.
Yeah, but there's a catch, baby.
What?
The entry fee. It's 1,000 clams.
You'll put up the money for me, Eddie.
I'll what?
Eddie, darling, don't make me unhappy.
Oh, baby, look, I don't even own $1,000 right now.
If I don't have this, Eddie, I'll kill myself.
Gloria.
I swear I will. I swear
now,
it.
Now, put that letter open it down, you little idiot. Put it down. Holy jumping Jupiter, you meant it. How do you know you nicked your throat with that knife?
I don't want to live if I can't get what I want, Eddie. If you ever refuse me anything again, you'll have my blood on your hands for the rest of your life.
All right, take it easy, honey. Just take it easy, huh? I'll hock my car and dig up the dough. And then I'll put your name on the Miss Venus list. I don't think she was kidding, Lieutenant. She meant every word. She was chasing that career right down the line for everything it was worth. And she'd have cut off an arm if she thought it could push her one inch forward. Well, I entered her in the Miss Venus contest, but I didn't think she had a chance. She was bucking the pros in that one. Gals who'd won contests before by the bushel. Gals who were already signed up to fat contracts by movie outfits. It was the biggest publicity stunt in 40 years, and a dollar won it would be on her way to the top. No, I thought Gloria was reaching too high for that one, but if I knew what was under that mop of flaming red hair of hers, I might have changed my mind. Well, there were three judges in the contest, but the big boy who pushed all the weight was Old Man Winters, a retired widower with a grown child. Gloria found out he lived in a midtown hotel suite all by himself, and one afternoon she moseyed up there and knocked on his door.
Yes?
Does Mr. Hammond live here?
I'm afraid you have the wrong apartment, young lady.
I'm looking for...
Are you ill, miss?
I feel faint.
Oh, my dear, here. Take my arm. Come in, my dear, come in. I better call for a doctor.
No, please don't. It isn't necessary. I'll be all right after I rest a while.
Well, sit down over here.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. I'm afraid I inconvenienced you, Mr.
Winters, and it's quite all right.
It's just a fainting spell. Guess I haven't been eating as regularly as I should lately. My money's run out.
Well, you poor child. Let me get you something from the restaurant.
Oh, no, please.
Now, I insist. I'll call down immediately. Now, you just stay right where you are and relax. I'll take care of everything.
Thank you, Mr. Winters. You know, you remind me of my father.
Do I?
He was just as kind as you are, and... Well, if I'd taken his advice, I wouldn't be in the fix I'm in now.
Well, perhaps I can help you.
Help me?
To find a job or something.
But you're doing so much for me.
Oh, nonsense. We've only known each other for a few minutes. But still, I feel I've known you longer. You said I reminded you of your father. Well, you remind me of a daughter I had years ago, Evangeline. She died at the age of 19.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I have another daughter. She's 21, a wonderful girl. Unselfish, unspoiled, and she worships me. Here I am talking too much. Let me order some dinner for you, child. And then I want you to tell me all about yourself. I think we're going to be friends. Good friends.
I'm sure of it, Mr. Winters.
Fast work, Lieutenant? Oh, you didn't know Gloria. Why, in no time at all, she was calling him Daddy. And she had him jumping through hoops. What was all legitimate on his side, he actually thought he saw his dead child in Gloria's face. And for a while... She made him happy. And then one day, she sprung the contest on him, and that was that.
Well, Glory, my dear.
Hello, Dad.
Well, I'm so glad you dropped in. I have wonderful news.
Oh?
My daughter Mary arrives home today from school in Europe. you meet her for the first time. I know you'll be crazy about her. I've already written her a great deal about you.
Won't she be jealous?
Jealous, Mary? Oh, bless your heart. There isn't a jealous bone in her body. I've told her how I've virtually adopted you, how close we are now, and she's thrilled. You see, she's always known how miserable I've been since I lost Evangeline.
Well, I'd love to meet her, Dad, after the contest.
After what contest?
The Miss Venus Beauty Contest.
What's the contest got to do with it?
I'm entered.
You're entered?
And I'm going to win.
Well, you never told me you'd entered that contest.
I'm telling you now.
Did you know I was going to be chief judge?
Do I know when Christmas comes around, Daddy boy?
I don't quite follow you.
I want to win that contest, and you can help me do it.
Well, you'll have as fair a chance as any other contestant.
I'll have a better chance, Daddy boy, because that contest is going to be rigged.
What? What do you mean?
You're not only going to vote for me, but you're also going to influence the other two judges to make it unanimous.
Well, you must be joking.
I was never more serious in my life. Both those judges are friends of yours. You can talk them into anything, and you know
it. But I have no intention of talking them into anything, Gloria.
No.
All my life, I've been a man of honor. I don't intend to change that now.
You'll do as I say and like it. You understand? I mean business, Daddy boy.
It's amazing. In the space of 2 minutes, you've changed from a sweet, lovable child to a predatory, vicious woman. I can hardly believe
it. I don't care what you think of me, as long as you vote for yours truly. I want that contest title, and I'm going to have it.
On the contrary, you're going to get out of here right now.
You asked for it, you old fool. Now you're getting it. If I don't win that contest, I'll give your daughter an earful that'll make her hair stand on end. I'll tell her about her darling father, her lovable dad, and me.
Well, there's nothing to tell.
No? Maybe you hear my version. How do you think your daughter will feel when I tell her that her father's chased after a girl her own age and... I'll even take that, Daddy boy, and let you get away with it. But if you and your pals don't vote my way, I'll spill enough to your daughter to drive her away from you for good. And if you don't think I'm a fancy liar, try me. Well?
You're an evil woman, Gloria.
Don't make me laugh.
I can see now. It was just a trick. A ruse.
It's dog-eat-dog in this world, Daddy boy, and I'm having you for lunch.
A woman like you has no right to live. You should be eliminated. Stamped out. Like some evil disease.
Do I get first prize? Or do I take that finishing school daughter away from you for keeps?
You'll get first prize.
And she did, Lieutenant. But old man Winters never forgave her. Well, you asked for a suspect, and there he is. But he's not the only one. Now, take Paul Bixby, for instance. 6 weeks after Gloria won a contest, she was on the move again. A movie contract came with first prize, but was that enough for Gloria? Not on your life. She didn't want to make one movie. She wanted to take over the studio. And when she outlined her plans in a Hollywood hotel, I knew she was chasing that buck again and that big career right into the ground.
How much longer must I sit around in this stuffy hotel room, Eddie, waiting for those idiots to call me from the studio?
All right, take your time, kid. We'll be hearing from them. They've got to find the right picture. Meanwhile, you're sitting around for $500 a week under contract.
$500 a week? What do I care about peanuts? They ought to pay me $5,000.
Eddie, hold on, baby. Only the big stars get that kind of letter.
Then make me a star.
Oh, just like that, huh?
Who's head of the studio?
Arthur Summers is vice president in charge of production.
But who's his boss?
Paul Bixby. He runs the works.
He married?
Yeah.
Any children?
Well, he's got a 22-year-old son in his last year at college. Oh, now, look, Gloria, you've got no more chance of meeting Bixby than a snowball on the Sahara.
It isn't Bixby I want to meet, darling. Much more interested in his son.
I don't get it.
It's just a joke. Forget it, Eddie. I suppose I'll just have to be patient until that phone rings and I've got myself a job.
She was lying, and I knew it. But there was nothing I could do. Well, she was cooking something up in that brain of hers, and whoever she'd set her sights on this trip didn't have a chance. But first, she did a little research, and she learned that Bixby's kid was taking a pre-med course at UCLA. And then she got a good idea of his regular habits. And one sunny day, she parked herself in front of the college library where young Johnny Bixby spent his afternoons.
See you later, Frank. I'm on my way home.
Oh, sorry. I didn't see you coming. There was quite a collision.
My ankle.
Oh, did I hurt you?
I'm afraid it's sprained.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. What can I do?
It's just an accident. If you'll call me a taxi.
Well, I've got my car right here. Let me drive you home, please.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, I insist, Miss...
Gloria Hastings.
My name's Bixby, Johnny Bixby. Here, let me help you to the car.
Oh.
Does it hurt that bad?
I'd better put my arm around your neck.
Yeah.
You put yours over here. Now, I'll try to walk. Very kind of you to do this, Mr. Bixby.
Kind? Gosh, after I bumped into you like an overgrown hippo, it's all my fault.
But I'm not sorry it happened. Are you?
Not on your life, Gloria. I mean...
Please call me Gloria, Johnny. Your car's so nice and comfortable. This is one ride I think I'm going to enjoy.
Oh, it didn't take her long to have him eating right out of her hand. And inside of a week, the kid was hopelessly in love. He'd never met a dame like Gloria before. A woman who knew all the answers even before you asked her the questions. And when she wanted to put on the siren act, like she was second to none.
You're a sweet boy, Johnny.
I love you, Gloria. I love you more than anyone or anything on earth. You're beautiful, Gloria. You're breathtaking.
Don't say any more, dearest. Just kiss me. Hard.
And after she'd hooked him solid, Lieutenant, she used the gaff. He begged her to marry him, and she laughed right in his face. And then she started to get him crazy jealous, and he began to drink. Why, he changed from a clean-cut kid to a drunken slob. And he was still sliding downhill when his father paid Gloria a visit.
Yes?
Are you Miss Gloria Hastings?
I am.
I'm Paul Bixby, Johnny's father.
Oh, please come in, Mr. Bixby. Johnny's talked so much about you, I've always wanted to meet you.
I've been told you're under contract to my studio.
Yes. I've been sitting around now for the past 3 months just twiddling my thumbs and waiting for a call. Oh, my goodness, don't tell me you've come in person just to say they found a part.
That could be. But first, I've come to talk about my son, Miss Hastings.
Oh? I'm sure he'll make a wonderful doctor.
He would have, perhaps, if he hadn't been expelled from school.
Expelled?
Don't pretend you don't know anything about it, Miss Hastings. John's been doing nothing but seeing you for the past 6 weeks. He's neglected his studies. He's become a heavy drinker. I understand that it's all due to your encouragement.
Now, please.
Let me finish, please. John's madly in love with you. You seem to be driving him out of his mind. I don't know what kind of a hold you've got over him, but I want it broken immediately.
Are you giving me orders, Mr. Bixby, or asking for a favor?
I've had a private detective look into your past, young lady. It's not a very savory record. Do you have any ideas about getting John to marry you?
Just what do you think you could do about it?
I could see that you'd never get a job in pictures as long as you lived.
But you won't.
No?
Because you know I can break your son in two. The way I snap my fingers. You think he's drinking now? Wait till you see him in a couple of weeks. I can make a tramp out of that son of yours in no time at all, Mr. Bixby. So handle me with kid gloves.
You must be some kind of monster to want to do a thing like this. What do you want from the boy? What do you want from me?
I'll let you know when I'm good and ready. And when I think you're good and ripe. Meanwhile, let me show you what I can really do with your beloved son.
Cute, Lieutenant. Well, that was Gloria. She was chasing that buck real hard, Lieutenant. And her conscience was frozen solid in a hunk of dry ice. Well, 2 weeks later, Johnny Bixby was pulled out of his car on Sunset Boulevard where he tried to make it climb a tree. He was drunk when they grabbed him, and he got off lucky with just a busted arm, but it was enough to bring his father back to Gloria on his hands and knees.
You've got to give him up, Miss Hastings. That boy is killing himself because of you.
Are you willing to pay for it?
What do you want?
I want to be starred in pictures. I want $1 million worth of publicity and a nice new fat contract to go along with it. I want to be the biggest name in show business. And you can turn the trick.
If I notify my production chief to star you in our next film, will you break off with my son and promise never to see him again?
I'll tell him I'm married, Mr. Bixby, and I'll handle him carefully. Don't worry about that.
If you fail to keep your word, Miss Hastings, I warn you, don't try it.
Is that a threat?
I'll make it even clearer. You're not a human being. You're more like an animal. And I'll treat you like one. I'll give you your new contract. But if you dare to see my son once more, it may be your last act on Earth. And I mean every word I say.
Our last suspect, number 2, Lieutenant. You want some more? Well, I've got another one to hand you, and this one is a dilly. You'd think Gloria would have been satisfied with a juicy contract and a name in lights, but, well, you don't know my girl. The sky was her limit, and she wouldn't settle for second best. I suppose the psychiatrists have a word for what was wrong with Gloria, what made her run like a doped-up filly in a phony race. The chase was never over as far as she was concerned. The faster she ran, the more she wanted. Well, it was 3 or 4 months after the Bixby episode. I was waiting in her dressing room on the lot until she finished the scene. The minute she walked in, I knew that something was up because she had that crazy light in her eyes. The light that reminded me of the glint on a $20 gold piece.
Eddie!
Hello, Gloria.
I didn't know you were going to meet me here.
Oh, I thought I'd give you a little surprise. All right, what's up, Gloria?
Nothing.
Now, come on now, you look excited.
Do I? Must be this picture we're doing. It's got me all in a dither. I'm going to be the biggest thing since Garbo, Eddie.
Mm-hmm. And then, will you be satisfied?
Satisfied?
You know what I mean.
Eddie. Who's there?
It's Herbert. Herbert Fondley.
Give me 20 minutes to change, huh?
I'll be waiting for you, Miss Hastings.
And who is Herbert Fondley?
You don't read the papers, Eddie. He's here on a trip with his wife.
I see.
He's real nobility, Eddie. His family dates back 1,000 years. He's not one of these nouveau riche American millionaires you can get for a dime a dozen.
Well, you seem pretty impressed.
Don't get any ideas in that silly head of yours. He simply invited me out to dinner.
Well, he was supposed to go out with me.
Oh, be a darling, Eddie. Let me out of it. It isn't often that I get to meet a British title. And besides, it's good for my career. Think of the publicity I'll get when I'm seen in his company.
Yeah. I'm thinking of everything, baby. Oh,
let me have my fun and don't be a meanie. He's perfectly harmless. Now, run along. Be a good boy. Got to be dressed by best tonight. Never know where a thing like this can lead.
No, you never know, do you, Lieutenant? But I knew. Little Gloria was wrapped up in the chase again, and this time she was out for a title as well as a man. Lord Farnley was happily married when he met Baby, and he had 2 wonderful children to keep him that way. Oh, but that meant nothing to Gloria. Broken homes were her specialty. And she also left a few broken people on the side of the track. Well, her romance was a fast one, and she thought she kept it under wraps from everyone, including me. But I wasn't the only one who knew exactly what was going on. Lady Farnley had a pretty good notion, too.
Are you Miss Hastings?
Yes.
I'm Lady Farnley. Herbert's wife.
I see.
May I come in?
I suppose so.
Oh, you have a very attractive place, Miss Hastings.
I'm glad you like it.
The setting's quite right for someone like you.
Come to the point, Lady Farnley. You didn't pay me a visit just to admire my furniture.
No, you're right. I came to discuss a very personal matter. It's taken me a long time to make up my mind to do it. But I find the situation's getting beyond my control, and I want to do something about it before it's too late.
What's on your mind?
My husband. And you.
As if I didn't know.
He's fallen in love with you, hasn't he?
Ask him.
I did.
And what did he say?
He seemed to feel that our marriage was coming to an end.
That's too bad.
Doesn't seem to matter to you that I happen to love him very much and that I have two small children who depend on him.
You're beginning to sound like a Class B picture.
I'm trying to be sincere, even though I realize that honesty is something you'll never understand.
I understand men, Lady Finley, a lot better than you do.
Yes, you're very clever. And extraordinarily lovely. I can't compete with you on that score.
I'm glad you know it.
What do you want with my husband?
What do I want with him?
You have your career. Thousands of men would be happy to throw themselves at your feet. Why do you want to take the one man I love away from me?
Maybe you've had him long enough.
It's his title you wanted, his background that intrigues
you. What difference does it make?
None to you. You'd ruin a man's life if only for an afternoon's entertainment.
You've spoken your piece. Now you can leave.
I haven't quite finished.
You're like all the rest. You can't hold on to a man yourself, and you expect someone else to hand him back to you on a silver platter. Anyway, it's none of your business.
My husband's happiness is my business, Miss Hastings, and my children's, too. If I give Herbert his divorce, you'll make him miserable. You don't even know the meaning of love and respect. You'll take what you want from him and then discard him like an old toy.
That's his lookout.
I'll ask you once more, Miss Hastings, to leave my husband alone.
And if I refuse?
You'll regret it.
How?
Perhaps this will give you an indication.
What are you doing with that gun?
I want you to see it as a warning.
Keep away from me.
I want you to know just what I'm prepared to do to keep my home intact.
You must be crazy.
Yes, perhaps, but it's an insanity born of desperation, Miss Hastings, and I mean every word I say.
You wouldn't dare use that gun on me.
Wouldn't I? Don't put me to the test, Miss Hastings, I warn you. I'm leaving now, but if you make one more move in my husband's direction, I'll put a bullet through your predatory head. Goodbye, Miss Hastings.
Well, there you have it, Lieutenant. Suspects number 1, 2, and 3. Any one of them could have put that slug in Gloria's body just as easy as spearing herring in a barrel. Which one, Lieutenant? That's the $64 question, but maybe I can answer it. None of those suspects is guilty, Lieutenant, and I guess I ought to know. How do I know? Why, because I killed her myself, Lieutenant. I put that bullet in her pretty head. You see, I left out one minor item in the story of Gloria Hastings. She was my wife.
Was created and written for the National Broadcasting Company by Lawrence Cleve. Featured in tonight's cast were Larry Haynes, Elaine Rost, Wendell Holmes, John Sylvester, Sarah Burton, and Stotz Cotsworth. The Chase is directed and transcribed by Edward King. Fred Collins speaking. Next week, a ghost falls in love with a living man and pursues him relentlessly in The Chase.